Hello, friendly neighborhood editor Matt here, just letting everybody know that we have an extensive back catalog of games for you to check out that we've played for the podcast, and if in the future you have a game that you'd like us to play, let us know, because we're totally open to suggestions. I hope you enjoy the show.
What kind of podcast is this?
Bad Play Style is a book club podcast.
For video games.
For video games. What am I supposed to say again? Welcome to Season 3 of Bad Play Style. This is our infinite spoiler warning. Skip ahead if you don't want to hear that Metroid is a girl. Or that Zelda's a boy. There, how's that?
Yeah. We swears a lot. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like that...
You say bad words.
You could send corrections to...
BadPlaceSal@gmail.com.
Welcome to Bad Play Style. I'm Matt.
I'm not quite a shame man, not yet a shit rip. Damn it.
Fuck, man.
All right.
Say your shit, shame boy.
I'm not quite a shame man. Not yet a shame man, not quite a shame boy.
Okay.
There it is.
Also, AKA
Keenan.
All right. And then over here, we have introducing for the very first time.
Hello. Oh, usually eats chapstick.
AKA. AKA.
Chapstick?
What's your real name?
Yeah. Like not everybody can identify us by our voices, right?
Yeah, beautiful voice.
And this is Bad Play Style. If you're confused as to why that just happened, we have a system of checks and balances that
very efficient
confers offensive and shameful noble titles upon us.
Degrading titles.
For our failings, which kind of seems like I'm going to get one soon. So, hey, Owen. I'm sorry. He usually eats chapstick.
What's good?
What did we play this week?
We played Kerbal Space Program.
All right. Yeah, that was a good time. But before we get into spoiling the story of...
the dense story.
Of Kerbal... Space Program.
The rich tales of Space Frog Space Mission.
There are at least one axe.
Act one, construction.
Act two, whoops.
Yep. Act two, staging.
Oh, I staged that wrong.
Yeah.
But before we get too deep into Kerbal or Space Frog Space Mission, as it is otherwise known sometimes out there in the blogosphere, we're going to talk about the other games we've been playing.
I really like how dated blogosphere is. It's good.
It's like Internet 1.0.
Yeah. Sorry.
What are we on now? Internet like 4.5?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Owen, a.k.a. usually eats chapstick.
Yo,
I love
good.
It. What have you been playing? Oh. Actually, I'm sorry. No, I forgot our second newest segment. What Legos are you playing with?
Oh, I got a guy, and he's got a big mustache, and he's got a big gun, and a very ugly striped shirt that I believe you gave to me. You gave me
Legos. Oh, yeah,
I
remember.
He's got that,
yeah.
Sweet Lego bowl cut thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gave me the torso. The rest of these parts are mine.
Oh, yeah.
I like that mustache.
I don't recognize
that's a good
any
mustache.
Of that
stuff.
It's
I like mustache. That mustache piece a lot.
Is it like a collar?
It's like a scarf. Yeah.
And then it comes up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how they mount it.
Cool.
But anyway, video games.
Yeah, I got a Lego boy. So I've been playing video games. I got a new game for my Switch.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I put down my Switch for a while because all the really great games that were on it, I had either beaten... Or were, like, indie games I played, like, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a big problem for me on the Switch.
Yeah, the Switch has, like, a weird indie backlog.
Yeah, but it's, like, all the indie games that are available on the Switch that I want to play, I've already played because they were on the PC, like, over the last 3 years or 4 years. But I bought that Mario Rabbids
You were showing
XCOM
me.
Game.
Mario XCOM?
Wait, it's XCOM?
Yeah.
It's turn-based tactical, yeah.
Yeah, it's a squad tactical game. And Mario has a gun.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, everyone has guns.
What?
And they've loaned likenesses of all the Mario characters to Ubisoft for the Rabbids.
Yeah.
It's like a weird fucking licensing nightmare.
Well, it's not that complicated.
Mm.
It's two companies.
Who gets to use Rabbid Mario?
Probably either of them. I'm sure Ubisoft would be stoked to like have Nintendo want to.
Are those the new Brawl characters?
Or yeah, like Super I need some Smash rabbit, characters? Rabbit, oh, wow. Dumbass characters some in Smash Super Brothers. Smash?
So there's like a rabbit version of like every main Mario character in that game. Which is like really
wait,
great.
Wait, but how many eyelashes does Rabbit Peach have?
I don't know, man.
Is it the same number of segments as Rabbit Mario's mustache?
I don't know.
It's important.
No. It's very important.
I just got Rabbit Mario. I haven't used him yet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's like a little it's like a little grid-based squad tactical XCOM game, except all the hit percentage chances are either 100%, 50%, or 0%.
Okay.
Simplified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like super movement heavy.
Okay.
Sure, so like when you do stuff, it moves people.
Like, if I move my guy into the space of one of my other guys, they bounce off them and get like an additional...
So it's like there's some elements of Disgaea in there. Like I'm not sure you played
interaction.
That, but
like,
Disgaea did stuff like
that. So like it encourages like really aggressive movement. There's like Mario pipes, and if you go in a Mario pipe, even if it's with your last square's worth of movement, you just get a flat amount of movement when you come out of the pipe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that pipe can also, in itself, take you across the map. Right. So, like, there's a lot of really aggressive and fast moving around. It's very quick.
That's cool.
It's not plodding like XCOM, where you creep up on the Martians and sneak up on the Martian and shoot the Martian between the eyes with your sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Although Luigi has a sniper rifle that looks like a vacuum cleaner.
That's really
Luigi of him.
Yeah. Why would he have that? That's weird.
And there's all sorts of like weird, grotesque things in the Mushroom Kingdom now, like toilets. Like, I don't remember seeing toilets.
Yeah, there weren't any toilets. Toilets are grotesque.
Despite Mario being a plumber.
So yeah, I've been playing that.
He never like works on the pipes.
No.
He just jumps in.
No, Mario is an aspirational plumber.
Yeah. He dresses and acts like what he thinks a plumber is. Yeah. From his
it's really a lesson to all of us. We should dress for the job we
not the plumber job cosplay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But so I finally took my Switch like on a vacation. I went on a short trip, and it's like the first time I got to take my Switch like a distance.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know that like moment on vacation where like you run out of shit to do and you're at your like family's like your aunt's house or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and like all you have to entertain yourself is your phone, and your phone's battery's just dying because you're just using it all day, you're
killing it.
I was like, no, I can go charge my phone, whip out my Switch, and play my little rabbits, and then switch.
It's like Nintendo,
I was working that marketing angle there. Yep.
My only complaint is my Bluetooth headphones can't pair with the Switch, even though the Switch has Bluetooth controller capability.
It clearly has a receiver for this, but it's not open to
the
public.
They just don't play ball with headphones. And then the only other thing I really...
Nintendo, right?
Yep.
The only other thing I really played other than our homework is Final Station DLC some more.
Oh, did you finish that?
No, I didn't finish it. I've been, like, pecking away at it super slow. Like, I'll boot it up and, like, do, like, a stop. It's not stations in the DLC, but, like, it's whatever. It's a level.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, it's cool.
Cool. Good.
It's coming together.
I'm glad that's working. Me next?
No.
Okay.
Hell no, Shame Boy.
All right.
I'm going next.
I'm Shame.
You eat that shit! All right. That was weird. But, so, I have a story to share with you guys. I already shared this with Keenan, but I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Sure.
I already shared this with Shame Boy. I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Sure.
So, I was playing Warframe the other day, like you do. Mm-hmm. Like I do.
Like you do.
I don't think either of you guys play that game anymore. But anyway, I'm doing this really tedious farm.
Okay.
Right? Like, there's a specific part. It's, like, the last part I need to make this Warframe, right? And it's, like, one of the newer ones. And like, usually when you, like, complete a rare drop, everybody's like, woo, yeah, fuck yeah, like, in the chat. like, everybody celebrates in the chat for a second.
Everyone's excited.
But this grind had been, like, had destroyed us and, like, like, it removed our ego in a very, like, Zahwa from Pillars way. That at the end, we were all just like, I was just like, hey, I love you. And then everybody else in the chat was like, I love you too. I love you. I love this guy. I love you. And then, we did that for like 2 or 3 minutes afterwards. Just everybody, I love you, man. Like, I'm done. I don't have to play anymore tonight.
Their community manager is doing their job.
Hey, people at home, tell the people you play video games you love them.
Yeah.
Tell we people could use it. That you love
There's
them.
There's enough bullshit on the internet. We could use that.
But it was just like, I thought it was really funny that like instead of the normal, like, fuck yeah, I beat your shit in RNG.
Jesus. You know, like, it was like, I fucking love you, man.
I'm glad we shared this together.
It's I'm out. Like, I'm leaving this game now. And that was fun. And then I beat Pillars. And the ending of it was so... I'm going to try to speak in such a way, because I don't want to spoil Pillars for you. I don't give a shit about you, listeners, but I don't want to spoil it
for... We know it means something to Chapstick over here.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for Usually Eats Chapstick. So the ending was kind of so, world-shattering, mm-hmm. That it kind of reminded me of how, in, you remember Kingdom of Amalur: Reckoning?
Yes.
You remember that game?
I remember that you...
Yeah, I played the shit out of that game. You liked that game. Yeah, I liked that game a lot. Me and, one other person I know like that game, and she lives in China now, so that maybe tells you something. I don't know. Sure. Yeah, that game, at the end of that game, you end the process of death for the universe, right? Okay. Like, it no longer exists, because the plan was to use the Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning to make enough money to finance an MMO.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was the plan, and then the MMO never happened, because game dev is crazy.
Sure.
Especially at that, high of a level.
Sure.
We already spent $100 billion on this and it tanked, why would we do it?
Game dev as a process, not game dev as in individuals.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you meant game devs be crazy.
But, I mean,
but the activity of game dev.
I don't want to talk about that. That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm not gonna
I misunderstood you at first. I wanted to clarify
for other people at home
that may have made the same misunderstanding.
It wasn't the ladies be shopping of game dev. Like, that's not what I was doing. Ladies be shopping. Game dev be crazy.
That's not where you're going.
What was happening.
The activity is crazy.
I wasn't dropping all my articles on purpose. That was an accident.
Dropping your articles on purpose. Yeah. Yeah. That is that.
You have identified cyber sex. This is what you say after you drop all your articles. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So I beat it and it was like, what? Is there going to be a third game? with a scratchy voice?
I'd be really surprised if...
I mean, that's the thing,
The way they... I went to one of their panels at PAX once, and the way they talked about it, they were like...
Like, this is the thing.
Yeah, this is going to be one of our things.
Yeah, and, I get that, It was sort of... I say this, on an intellectual level, I know that Josh Sawyer and crew are going to make another video game.
You rationally know this, but...
I understand this. Yes, yes. I know this. It is known Khaleesi, right?
Yeah.
But on an emotional level, in the moment, as the thing that was happening I was like, is there gonna be a third game? I'm watching what's happening, and
it's hard to believe, right?
What is the third game going to be like? Because
maybe it'll be like Star Trek, where they just make prequels for the next
I was gonna say, so that's a possibility. But quick question: is it Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire?
Yes.
There's a colon.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So. There's no hints there, because it's not like Pillars of Eternity : Deadfire, right? Because then you could be like, they're just separate stories, right?
Well, they're not, because you're playing the same person.
Right, but numbering it builds other rules around its naming convention.
Yeah.
That do things.
I hope that in the next game we are not playing as the Watcher, and that any returning characters would be met with a fresh new protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my hope for them. I think it's cool what they did with everything. There's so many things that you did in Pillars 1 that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually matter. And this is the first create a save game through a little checklist I've seen that's not a piece of shit that lies to you and has bad options.
Side note, I enjoy the talking sword quest I watched you do.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Modwyr is a cool sword that makes you immune to mind control. Modwyr is great.
Do you think you'd be friends with Lilacore?
Absolutely. I think they would get along great. Right. Although, Lilacore is a little bit more inquisitive about what is going on. Modwyr is more like, hey, can you put me inside more people? I really enjoy that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, there was an interesting character to the sword that kept me watching.
Like, it plays laughing. sounds during combat when you crit.
That's legit.
Like she gets excited.
It was people crafted in a way that kept me engaged when I wasn't even in control.
And her whole story is like a breakup storyline.
Okay.
Yeah, it has some like emotional weight. Yeah. Even though it's a talking sword, I was like
4 J Sawyers out of 5. Just that quest.
Damn. Regardless if he wrote it or not.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, probably Carrie Patel wrote it, but like
Well, she played.
I think that's all I want to talk about.
Plus homework?
Yeah.
Named Warframe and that and
so homework. We usually give ourselves a few weeks to do the games, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, I put it off for the first week and I was like, I'll do it the second week. And then the second week was not a week to do that in. And so I didn't end up playing a lot of Kerbal, but I played enough and I actually can understand the UI now and I want to play more of it.
Good.
Yeah. So
it's a good ass
I think
game.
That's what Owen wanted, so yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get in the soup sometimes to really get it.
Yeah, I got in the soup.
All right.
Shame Boy.
Yeah, would you play Shame Boy?
Not yet a Shame Man.
So I have played as a Shame Boy.
That pendulum is gonna swing back so hard on me.
Yep. Yep. Insert knuckles cracking emoji. Oh, yep.
This is episode 26.
This is 26. Yeah.
The clock's ticking.
All right, so 4 episodes.
Oh my God.
So
this is Matt's first chicken hat.
Yep.
Matt has the only chicken hat so far this season.
Yep. So
I'm gonna play more Stellaris than you.
I've been playing more Heroes of the Storm because I have a social circle that plays that on accident. That's pretty cool. I picked up Garrosh. Garrosh is great.
Oh, is he in the game now?
He's in the game, and he throws people, and it's dumb and amazing.
He's an ultra tanky like control guy.
Yeah. Okay. So he has a cone attack that at the end of the cone knocks people up and stuns them for a second.
Okay.
And then he has an ability
to throw them into direct base-to-base contact with his model, which is horrible because his next move throws them behind him.
Yeah. So his next ability is he hits it, and his next auto attack does a little extra damage and heals him for like 40%.
Wow.
Which is neat.
40% is a lot.
It's
a long cooldown.
Yeah, and he doesn't put out like a ton of damage, so it's like it's balanced, okay. But the E is the soup du jour of playing Garrosh Hellscream. You grab the closest enemy.
Yeah, it's not targeted.
It's not targeted at all because your mouse has to be the direction you want to throw them.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it creates this really interesting like input differential for the ability because you want to run right up next to that dude and then you want your mouse as far behind you as you can while you hit the button.
Okay.
Within the time frame of he's still the closest. And then you can talent into an ability that you also throw teammates. So, nice. Like, when chases are going on, it's really rad to just grab the ranged guy and just be like, you kill him! Like, you just throw him 20 feet in front of you and it's like, finish it. Like, yeah, so he's a lot of fun.
Cool.
And then I've been doing more Eve mining. That is, like, the perfect level of game meditation.
Yeah.
For, like, my life right now.
It's a lot of spreadsheets on his second monitor.
It's, you gotta, like, check in on what's worth what today kind of shit, because there's real market dynamics in that game. But it's, like, it's nice because it's a game that, like, Owen, you're gonna get this. It's a second screen watching game, right? Like, I can do stuff, I'm making headway there, whatever, I'm watching fucking TV.
I watched a ton of shit while playing Kerbal Space Program.
Right, so it's like, it's just the right amount of, like, I don't have to think too hard on it, mm-hmm. which is good. And then, revisiting KSP was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's
pretty neat. We're going to talk about that more in a second.
Yeah. That second is now.
Boom!
Segway! Wait, hold on.
Stop it.
We're going to...
You're ruining it!
We're going to spoil this game.
I'm fucking sick of people on podcasts commenting on their own fucking segways. I don't care if you make a shitty segway. Stop talking about it.
Okay. Owen, what's wrong with KSP? I want to hear your thoughts on this.
What's wrong with Kerbal Space Program?
Yeah, what's bad about Kerbal Space Program?
Are you trying to coax me into saying the nitpicky things I got into before?
Not necessarily, but if that's what you want to talk about, like...
Okay. I'll talk about things on a more broad level.
Sure.
There are a handful of interface things that I think need to be part of the default game that are a part of widely used mods.
Oh, that are like mods. Yeah. Okay.
And that's about the worst I can say about it.
Keenan, do you have shit to talk about KSP?
I think my hardest part with KSP, walking into it, and even coming back to it, is that what I was referring to as far as, like, there's not specific information I would want readily available in the base UI, but also, like...
The one thing I want is that when, in the nav ball, when I hover my mouse over the yellow, one of two yellow circles, it's very important that I know which one's which.
That would be nice.
And if you hover over it, it doesn't tell you which one's which.
Right.
You just gotta remember.
It'd be
and
nice
for, like,
a
guy
label.
That's just starting out who has mild dyslexia,
right.
and there's
yeah.
two options,
so there's,
I'm definitely gonna pick the wrong one a
there's,
lot.
There's a lot of stuff like that where things aren't quite as well explained as they could be with a little bit more work.
I mean, they definitely are. I just have a problem with it, and there needs to be like a crutch in there somewhere
sure.
or something, you know?
I feel like my biggest barrier even now is, like, I want like, in-game tutorial videos for specific rocketry things. Like
there's an encyclopedia in the game now and tutorials.
Okay, maybe like the tutorials work, they're cool, but I want an introduction to concepts.
You should open the Kerbalpedia.
Okay, I'll check
like,
it out.
You know, Civ4 has the Civilopedia.
Yeah,
it that
it, does it have like transfer types and shit like that in there?
I mean,
because that's the kind of shit I'm
it won't
for.
Tell you how to make your ellipses. Like, you got to figure that out on your own. But,
right.
Like, open that, crack that thing open
okay.
sometime. There's a lot of information.
I hope that the encyclopedia has things like, hey, here's how things actually get done, and you can try and replicate that on some level. Because I've had to do a lot of digging into, like, how the fuck did we send stuff to Mars? to, like, figure out how to replicate that.
Sure.
Which, like, is kind of part of the fun if you're a space nerd.
Well, and, but like, you can also, like, you can fumble your way through with the maneuver planning tool.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Like, I'll tell you what, like, when I send things to other planets in Kerbal Space Program, like, I know where to find an online calculator to figure out the
right.
proper transfer ellipse, but, like, I don't use it.
Right.
Like, I throw my shit out into
you get into a stable orbit, you pause the game, and you find that maneuver.
Yeah,
we
go into a heliocentric orbit, and I whip out the little maneuver node tool,
yep.
and it's like, oh, cool. All right, here's like, one I found. We'll do this transfer. Oh, it looks like, hey, Jeb, like, you're gonna have to sit in the capsule for about a year and a half orbiting the sun for you to reach that point. Because it's an orbiting the star
yeah,
right now. We're
yeah.
not orbiting Kerbin.
Yeah,
thank
yeah.
God Kerbals don't need to eat.
Yeah, they don't need to eat.
yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone anywhere.
Little plant man, save the day.
yeah. Little cactus boy.
Yeah.
For a long time, the only like notable plant life on Kerbin were the cactus in the desert.
Mm.
And so it was assumed by a large percentage of the player base
that this is the pupa stage.
Yeah, yeah, or that like Kerbals were somehow descended from cactus.
Oh, like this is an evolutionary like
yeah.
dead end back there.
Yeah, and then like people are like making jokes like, if Kerbals evolved from cactus, why are there still cactus?
yeah. like, thanks, internet.
Yeah, like
yep.
The Kerbal Space Program subreddit is it's a good place.
There's a lot of people enjoying themselves.
That reminds me of the other day when you posted the thing where it's like Jupiter has 69 moons.
Yeah.
And like 20 top comments were just deleted.
Yeah, they're removed by moderators.
So there's a guy I follow on YouTube based solely on his KSP videos where he is incredibly exuberant and excited at all times.
You could
times.
Say his name.
It's Billy Wynn Jr.
Uh-huh.
He's a very large African-American man, and
okay.
he's always really jacked up about the things he's getting done in his videos.
Cool.
And it's like...
Oh, I think I've seen this guy.
Yeah, like, it's... He's, like, kind of well-known in the community at this point, but, like, every once in a while I log into YouTube, I look at my subscriptions, like, oh, I want to watch Billy get excited. You know, like,
yeah.
like I'm going to give that 5 minutes, because that's worth my time. That's some humanity-restoring shit. Like,
I totally fell off the Kerbal YouTube scene, like, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And, like, now all the people I followed are either gone or, like, don't do Kerbal
Moved
videos
on to different games,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, everyone knows who Scott Manley is, right?
He's yeah.
the fucking...
Yo, that guy's been helpful with Eve.
Yeah.
Turns out.
No, he's great. But, like... Kerbal Space Program came out 7 years ago,
right.
originally,
right.
or whatever.
For people who were into it, it's done.
So, like, he's done that game forwards and backwards. And like,
with all the good mods, and...
Yeah,
you
know,
like,
he needs to build his brand and branch
yeah.
out.
Yep.
And then, like, all the other ones, like, quit doing it.
Yeah.
Like Winter Owl and
so,
Kurt J. Mack.
What is Kerbal Space Program? Because we haven't really explained
oh,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't talked about that.
Yeah, yeah. Kerbal Space Program is a sandbox spaceflight simulator, yeah, it's a
That's
flight.
That's surprisingly accurate.
Yeah, it's
like descriptive.
You build your own rockets out of like modular pieces, and you have to like clumsily learn orbital mechanics and build cartoony rockets filled with cartoon little green men,
mm-hmm.
and go to planets and moons
and that are sometimes allegories to your own solar system.
Yeah,
and sometimes not.
And build multi-stage rockets or not multi-stage rockets.
It's up to you.
And, you know, put heat shields on and burn up in the atmosphere and deploy parachutes. Yeah.
Like,
and
most of the real-world problems are in this game in at least a cartoon facsimile.
Yeah. Mine ore on other planets and convert that ore into fuel.
Yeah.
Collect electricity with your solar panels. Or don't, because you broke your solar panels, dumbass.
Your fat ass broke it.
Or
fat ass is stuck in space.
Or you left your robotic spacecraft oriented in such a way that the body of the spacecraft blocks the solar panels from the sun. And you no longer have control of that spaceship.
You can't turn it. Yeah. And guess what?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I did that last week.
It's really good at explaining how difficult manned space missions are, or unmanned ones.
Yeah.
Right? It's really good at explaining, like, how difficult a NASA engineer's job is to get it right.
Yeah.
Well, and then when you understand they only get to do it once, there's a lot of respect that gets built up when it takes you nine tries to do it.
Well, and, like, Kerbal Space Program simplifies out, like, a ton of shit, too. Like, here's an interesting problem in early in human spaceflight is, like, the fuel in the tanks would slosh around during launch and would, like, cause structural damage and the rocket would blow up.
Right, the weight distribution changes are a problem.
Yeah, yeah, and so, like, anti-sloshing technology is not something that is, like, a part of Kerbal Space Program.
It's just baked in.
Yeah.
It's just baked in because, one, I don't want to program that, and two, no one wants to deal with it.
Like, I've never had a rocket break up from pogo oscillations in Kerbal Space Program. But that's a thing you should be worried about if you're a real aerospace engineer.
Pogo oscillations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go learn about the Saturn V, folks. It's a thing of beauty.
Yeah. The thing I like about KSP is it provided me a gateway to really appreciate some of the scary-ass engineering solutions NASA came up with.
I remember this feeling where, like, I got into a stable orbit and it was like, alright, now lunar transfer. And I was like, oh, there's, like, so many other things that I could accidentally do that aren't that.
The void is unforgiving.
Right, it's like, I was thinking about, like, how amazing it is that anyone ever hits the target, because there's 360 times 360 other, and those are just whole numbers.
Right, those are the arbitrary number we came up with for that, that thing.
And it's like, man, sitting there, and I'm like, grappling with the fact, like, Valentina Kerbal.
Kerman.
She's sitting in that space capsule. She's having a great time. But she doesn't realize that it'd be very easy for me to strand her in space permanently.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like, forever.
In, like, a horrible elliptical orbit.
Yeah. Yep. And then the worst part is, like, the orbit you strand someone in is never the orbit that's easy to rescue someone from.
Oh, no.
Like, rendezvousing with highly elliptical orbits is, like, super annoying and takes fucking forever. And, like, it is the worst.
So, in that vein, one of my original experiences going to the Mun, which was our task, involved getting Jebediah, the good orange space
suit. Our good boy Jeb.
The good orange
space
suit.
This was before the days of Valentina Herman.
Yeah.
I think it was before they added her in the game.
So one of the things that people who haven't played KSP should know is you can hire other Kerbals as astronauts.
Yeah.
But you get a starting set of now four, three male and one female, and Jebediah is the Neil Armstrong allegory.
I would posit that Jebediah is not Neil Armstrong.
Okay.
Jebediah is John Young.
Yeah!
The biggest baller in the...
John Young!
In the NASA astronaut corps.
Yo, you should look up John Young. That is dope.
Jimny.
So Jebediah is the only Kerbal who, in scary situations, smiles.
Yeah. Well, him and Valentina.
Oh, does she?
Yeah, there's a flag in their, like, save file or whatever, and it's only switched on for those two.
Their config is, like, we're fearless motherfuckers. Like,
because one thing you can do is if you hire a Kerbal into your astronaut pool, you can open up their file and give them config. That trait.
Okay. So, but they're the ones that default. Also, they're the first four are the only ones with orange spacesuits. Everyone else gets, like, white 80s NASA spacesuits.
Well, actually, if you have the DLC, there's, like, more spacesuit
options. Oh, shit, really?
Like, yeah.
Cool.
It's, like, one of the weird trivial things they added.
But yeah, like, originally the orange-ass fucking Apollo-style spacesuits.
No, it's the shuttle suits.
Oh, yeah.
It's the orange, like, shuttle
really early
suits.
Yeah. So, anyway, They got orange suits. Your other guys got white suits. Yeah. It's like a...
Never trust the silver suit.
It's a badge. It's a badge. So I get Jeb stranded in the nastiest of elliptical orbits created by a really fucked up moon transfer that slingshots me out even further.
Sure.
So, like, we're talking about fucked up scary elliptical orbits, and I'm sitting there playing the game, and hey, Jeb's just kind of...
We figured out how to make circles scary.
Yeah. So Jeb's just kind of looping around.
Should make it real big.
Yeah. Jeb's just kind of looping around while I'm doing other stuff, and I'm like, yeah, someday I'll get Jeb back. And I'm talking to Owen about it, and Owen says, look, man, you can't leave him out there. Jeb never gave up on you.
That's a fact.
And it was just the right amount of, like, don't fuck this up, and you owe him. It's for me to be like, he's right.
It's a little less concise than failure is not an option.
Right, right. But it was well executed, especially for me at the time. It was like, no, you gotta go get him. Like, that's your boy. And so we mounted a scary-ass rescue operation, and I managed to do it. And that's, like, the core to me of what KSP gameplay is.
Yeah.
Is, like, you want to do this thing... But you fucked up, and now you're in a weird situation.
It's like pushing your own envelope, and then like trying to pick up the pieces afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's very much like the hopscotch, like throw it over there, see you, you do it. Like kinda...
I didn't like I said, I didn't have an extensive time with this, but every time I, as you say, pushed the envelope, a Kerbal crashed into the moon. That's what happened. Yeah.
But eventually, you'd figure it out. And then that's easy. Oh, and now
I mean,
you're like,
I will later.
Now you're like, what's next?
But right now, every time I try and land on the moon, I crash into the moon.
It's a bitch of a problem.
We should get you Kerbal Engineer. Like, I can show you a few things that'll help a lot.
Is that
a
mod?
Yeah, it's the Kerbal Engineer. Anyone listening probably knows this. It's a mod that just surfaces a lot of information to you that can be very useful that the game obviously is aware of and doesn't. Surf, like, show to the
right.
Planet.
There aren't places the game shows this to you, but it's available.
When I came over pre-recording, Owen was playing KSP, fucking around Space Planes. I was like, hey, Owen, why are there spreadsheets all over every screen you go to? And he was like, oh, that's a mod you should have.
Yeah. Yeah, we never got a chance to sit down over Discord and talk about it.
Yeah, because, like, by the time I actually tried to dive into this game, you were already, like, on vacation, as you said, with your Switch. So,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't really... Usually, with this kind of game, we'll sit down on Discord at least one day before we record and like do a preliminary discussion and a little bit of parallel play. That's the ideal, at least.
Yeah. So like for example, one of the things Kerbal Engineer surfaces that the game doesn't is your altitude, displayed at the top, is altitude from sea level or altitude from datum if you're on a body with no C, but it is not your terrain altitude.
It's
not actual altitude.
So you can fuck up your landings really bad if you think you have 500 more meters before you hit the ground.
That almost happened with the parachute to me.
Yeah.
The parachute was like, I got it, like 500 more, and I was like, no, you need to go off now.
So Kerbal Engineer will surface to you the terrain, your radar altitude, basically, from whatever's immediately below you. Like, that's like a thing it can tell you.
There's a lot of things in this game.
The fucking Hawkshead of Kerbal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in this game as a newer player that you, like, you run into that are solvable problems in the first, like, say you go into orbit and you come back, right? Like, getting the right angle to slow yourself down enough to be able to, like, pop your parachute and not splatter into the ground before you hit the ground is relatively difficult. It's one of those things that, like, you learn it at the smallest scale possible doing that, but then it can potentially be, like, way nastier later. Because you're, like, coming in hot on an elliptical orbit, and, like, you're going, like, four times faster than you were in regular orbit.
Well, yeah, and so, like for example, like, the Mark I capsule.
Mm-hmm.
The little black Mercury capsule.
Single boy.
Yeah.
Single boy capsule.
Little one-man capsule. That thing can re-enter without a heat shield from low orbits.
Yeah.
Like its heat tolerance is, like, pretty high compared to a lot of parts. But that's only, like, if you were in a low orbit coming back from a very low orbit. Basically, like, your first time orbiting Kerbin.
Right.
And, like, if you do anything
crazy...
Where
you barely get to space.
Yeah. But if you're doing something crazy, like coming back from the moon or coming back from, you know, another planet...
Anywhere else.
Yeah. Like, you're just gonna roast your dude coming back.
Yeah, so, like... The thing I like about it is that the way things get built that way, like, the way things get introduced to you through the small problems the career will serve you, are things that you learn to master in that smaller space, and then you have to learn how to master it as it gets slightly.
So better. I was talking with another friend of ours about his experiences with this game. I was talking with our friend Galen. And we had previously talked about he doesn't like the game Fallout 2, which I disagree with on a fundamental level.
I agree. Galen does like Fallout 2.
That's not what I meant. I think Fallout 2 is a really good game, and I think that you should play it, and I think that if you put time into it, you'll have a really good time. That's what I was saying. But, the good joke, but, so his problem was that in Fallout 2, it's not immediately apparent where you're meant to go, right? Like, it doesn't,
Oh yeah, that game does not spoon feed you.
No, it really doesn't.
And it does it way better than the first game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I literally played those games backwards. I played 2 and then 1.
Yeah, me too. But he was saying that in Kerbal, it's almost the exact opposite thing happens, where when he finishes with one test of himself in the game engine,
yeah, the next it is immediately obvious
what the next thing he should be doing is, right? It was always like, oh, that's what I should do, and it's hard, and I don't know how to do it, right? And I will learn how to do it. So that's one thing he was saying. Oh, and I wanted you had mentioned earlier something about performing rote actions in this game after you're like 3 billion hours in it.
Oh yeah. So the fundamental of this game though is like the way you succeed in it is by like learning the underlying concepts that like lead to a spacecraft blowing up and a spacecraft not blowing up or going into an orbit or blah blah blah, like all the different things.
There's a big tree of mistakes, and once you learn how to do them, you learn how to not do them.
Whether it's like getting into orbit or plane change maneuvers or orbital transfers or whatever, but like because you doing well in this game is not like your character accruing enough skill points that you always succeed. It's that like you learn
it's
this
user
thing.
Experience. Yeah, it's not character experience.
That when these overwhelmingly difficult things become very rote and easy for you, at least to me, I still find the game like immensely rewarding. Like if I know, like if I put I put down this game for like 6 months at a time or a year at a time, and then I'll just boot it back up and I'll play, and like I can like stack a rocket that can go to any planet in the system, and I know how to fly it, and I know how to take things there, and I know how to interact with the orbits of the moon. Like, when you go to Jewel, you gotta be careful if you're doing a close flyby, because there's a lot of moons, and they can slingshot you out, you know, and like, even when these things become very rote, it's still, at least to me, very personally rewarding.
There's a satisfaction to actually executing what you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, and that what you know works.
Yeah.
That you can't get in a lot of other games, because it's not built in the way where every instance of what you're doing is that difficult, right? Games tend to start lessening the difficulty on things that are common, whereas Kerbal Space Program is like, this is how it works, and you're gonna do this every time, or shit's gonna go bad. And so it's, those things become rote because you do them so often, but there's still a difficulty level that's ever present that makes you appreciate executing. It's got a really good, like, the other thing I really like about it is, like, because of what you were saying about what you talked about with Galen, where the next step is always obvious, it also allows you to frame your experience over time in a way that's really cool, because you're like, man, last week I was barely getting to the moon. This week I'm fucking slingshotting off the moon to somewhere else. You know,
You can compare and contrast with your own experience.
Right. There's this really good, like, because everything is obvious next step, there's really good build to your skill set, and you can look backwards and say, like,
and you can,
I used to struggle with this thing and I'm doing it all the time now.
You can feel it.
It's got a really, like...
Go on.
It's got a really, like... I don't have a good term for it, but there's like a good game feel to that. Like, yeah.
There's one thing I really like doing sometimes. When you go to the tracking station and you can look at the whole solar system and you can see all your flights that are in progress, like stations that are orbiting and satellites and whatever. If you mouse all the way to the top, there's a bunch of little boxes to check and uncheck which things it's displaying.
So you can filter out.
So you can tell, like, don't display all my junk. Don't show me all the, like, spent boosters.
All the weird shit I've left somewhere.
Yeah, because, like, I don't care about that. But one thing is, it's, I think it's unchecked by default. It won't show you all the flags you've planted.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But you can check it on, and then you pull out of the solar system, and you can see, like, okay, so I went to the moon, like, 8 times. So there's all my different moon flags in the different biomes on the moon. Here's all the ones on Minmus. Here's the one I put on Eve. Sorry, dude, I'm sorry you're still there.
right.
And, like here's like, the
and
one
you
there.
You have these ongoing problems to solve, and you can choose to go do something else because they don't eat, and they don't need water, and, like, those... Lack of limitations create a really interesting, like, layering to what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I have some dudes that have been living in a space station for, like, 25 years, and...
Yeah.
Like...
Space frogs got, like, the iron psychology.
I don't know if it's right to ever bring them back to Kerbin.
You live there now.
like, I think their bodies won't...
They're like the Russian dude on the space station in Armageddon. They're just there now.
Peter Stormare?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's not Russian.
He is in that movie.
Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Don't talk about that. I fucking hate that space.
It's bad.
That depiction of that movie, it's like this like fucking jingoistic fucking bullshit.
It's very bad.
Don't watch Armageddon. That's a bad movie. Watch Deep Impact.
Yep.
That movie's got good science, too.
Yep. That movie's a way better movie.
Also, it has... nuclear pulse propulsion in that movie, and they barely talk about it. It's awesome.
They're just like, yo, we're doing that. Is it Morgan Freeman in it?
Yeah, Morgan Freeman's the president.
Morgan Freeman's problematic now, though. Anyway.
Whatever. Life is just easier if you don't follow celebrities.
Yeah, I know. Don't have heroes.
Yeah. My shoes are problematic, Kanan.
I feel it. I've been rocking these same shoes for years.
Well, actually, your shoes are very problematic.
Yeah.
They stink a lot.
You're right. I've been wearing socks again, sorry.
So did either of you guys play career mode?
I did.
Nope.
I like those loops when I get to points I haven't done.
Yeah.
But it's a little annoying until I get there.
Okay.
I don't really like having to grind out the science to get the next tech level.
Sure.
When I know what I'm doing there.
I was hoping we'd have more to talk about with you playing it, because the career mode seems like a really good way to learn the game.
Well, I was still doing training, and
Well, so, like, the way career mode sets your goals, it sets them in a very, finely incremental thing, where it's, like, literally your first goal in career mode is to, like, make a capsule move very fast in the air.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it's baby steps in a way that's very awesome.
I saw training and I was like, I don't know shit about this game. I don't even know how to read the UI.
Sure.
So I was like, let's jump into training. Well, see what happens. I was telling Owen, the training, you saw it, like, lock up a few times.
Yeah, like, you accidentally, like, went over a maneuver it wanted and then it just didn't know what to do. Yeah, like, its trigger was broken. So training was built way before the career system was built.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so training is, like, very, like, they call it scenarios for a reason, right? It's like, hey, here's this thing that if you want to work on that, like, this is a good setup to work on that. Whereas, like, the way the career mode works is it's like he said, like, the first one's like, yo, put a rocket up, right? Well, bring it back down.
And it does a thing that I think is really important for learning that game, where a lot of people, when they played Kerbal Space Program, especially before there was a career mode, you boot it up and there's, like, 500,000 parts in the vehicle editor. Yeah.
Limiting your options increases my creativity.
Yeah, well, and also, like...
It forces you to learn how things work.
Well, and also, like, isn't showing you shit that you have no fucking use for yet.
Yeah.
You know, like a fucking 6-way space station module adapter, or, like, space plane wing modular sections.
Right.
And fucking keythane drills.
Limiting those things properly, it creates a really good goal structure.
Yeah.
Because you're like, man, I did this thing, I want to do more of that. And here's this cool part that's going to allow me to do that.
And it creates a good comfort zone, too.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I know that, like, this rocket stack can put a payload in orbit.
Right.
So, like, I'm going to keep that saved, and I can open it up, and it's made out of these parts, and I know I can afford it, and I know it's not too heavy for my launch pad.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of the things that are in career mode are things they've added since Owen and I started playing in earlier versions. There's a lot more systems in play in the game where you have to, like, upgrade your spaceport in general.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to... If you're doing space planes, the runway can only take so much weight.
It's the same for the pad.
If you're doing rockets, the gantry can only take so much weight, so you need specific size rockets to work. You have to spend resources to upgrade them. There's these other things that are limiting you other than knowing what the parts are in a meaningful way that grants you more of that achievement sort of love that I was talking about. Like, I did this thing, now I upgraded this, now I can do these other things.
Yeah.
Kind of flow.
And for me, the other thing I just very much enjoy about career mode is that it's like I'm a big space enthusiast. It's like this way for me to like vicariously live out the space program I wish we had. It's like the same enjoyment I get out of reading
I was
Neal Stephenson's Seven Eves.
I was thinking about that because the first thing you do is kind of the last big thing we did in space. Like the first thing we do is go to the moon and back. And that's like, oh.
That's like the first really big milestone in that game.
That's like the last kind of big thing we did.
Yeah.
Just remember when George W. Bush wanted to go to Mars? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then he found out how much it was.
Well,
they spent that money on other things.
I mean, they developed a crew that, whatever, space politics. they developed a crew capsule.
Wait, and we are going
to use it. That's cool. A tiny bit of good came out of that program.
All right. Hey, Owen.
What's good?
Talk about Squad.
Squad?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're from Mexico City, and they don't make this game anymore.
Okay.
They're a marketing company in Mexico City, and one of their prominent developers, like, as a passion project, was like, hey, I want to make this game, marketing company execs or whatever, like, marketing bigwigs. Like, can I do this? And they let him do this, and he made this game for years and years and assembled a team, and people who run a marketing company apparently don't know how to treat game developers very well. because over the years, they shed, like, their entire staff. And at one point, like, all the people quit en masse. There's been mass turnover over the years. And finally, the creator of the game left the company and the rest of the staff quit. And Squad hired a new staff. And then I think...
They sold it to, like, 2K. Right?
Yeah, they sold it to 2K. And 2K has done an okay job handling it.
They added weird DLC.
Yeah, they added a weird DLC that is kind of unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's mostly just Rocket. It's just parts, mostly.
I mean, to be fair, they bought a pretty finished product.
Like they added a mission builder, which I haven't fucked around with at all yet. I keep meaning to, and I never do.
That could be fun. Extend each other missions.
Yeah, and they added a bunch of historic spacecraft parts. So there's like an actual Gemini capsule, and they made the Mark III capsule look a lot more like an Apollo command and service module. And they added a bunch of new rocket engines and stuff like that.
So in case you guys hadn't noticed, this is Chapstick shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I put 1,100 hours in this game. This game is super duper my shit.
I really dig it, but I don't have the skill level that he has for it to be a more relaxed...
It's not that I'm good at it, I just put in the time.
Right, but like I haven't done that, so it's not as relaxing for me.
You haven't put in the wall grease.
Right.
Yeah. Like, the last time we recorded, I went to the moon that night.
Yeah.
actually, I tried to do my most ambitious moon lander ever and stranded someone on the moon and had to build like a very like off-the-shelf moon lander to go rescue them. Like I built this tiny little thing where it was a tiny jerry can of monopropellant and then basically a lawn chair on top. I put the rover seat on instead of like an actual capsule and then put like the little tiny, I think they're called like mosquito landing legs. It's like the super spindly ones. Yep,
the scary ones.
And
they're scary with anything that has weight.
Yeah. And then did like some like fucked up part clipping to take the radial mounted monopropellant thruster and mount it stack wise underneath it. And I fucked up the timing on my landing burn. And so we were actually going really slow when we came down, just slow enough that the entire lander was intact after the collision, except for the engine. And because we were using a seat and not a capsule, the person ejected from the lander.
The force was enough to kick them off.
Yeah, and they survived the landing. Like, right. Valentina was fine.
Did they do the head bounce?
No, I mean, it wasn't moving fast enough, so they didn't need it.
Kerbal head bounce.
Yeah. So she just tumbled away.
You have to, like, land again.
Yeah, no, we got it. Can you explain the Kerbal head bounce?
Before they added, like, reheating... Or like heating up from re-entry heating. you could just send anything into the atmosphere.
Oh.
And it would come out intact.
I get it.
But it would still be moving at terminal velocity by the time it hits the ground.
Sure.
But there's like a weird ragdoll physics thing where a Kerbal, if they land like in a weird upside down way, yeah. they fucking like ragdoll glitch into not dying, even though they're moving like 120 meters a second.
Yeah.
And then the next time they hit, they've shed so much speed.
Between the air resistance and the bounce itself.
Well, as soon as you were talking about re-entry, before we added, I was like, oh, okay, I see
this is like a stupid show-off so thing dumb. You can do.
I did it on accident, how I found out. Like I had a dude, and I'm like, oh, fuck, there goes my vehicle, but he's okay. Yeah. And then I'm like, I guess I'm gonna see what happens.
Yeah.
And, like, he just kind of oriented that way, and it happened because they're all top-heavy. They're all super top-heavy because their helmets are huge.
Yeah, that's where most of the air resistance is coming from.
Yeah.
Because they're chibis.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, it just sort of happened. I was like, what the fuck? And then, like, I remember, like, messaging you, being like, dude, this crazy thing happened. He's like, oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's a thing.
Like, this is known.
People do this on
people
purpose.
People do this on purpose. I'm like, that's fucking weird. Yeah.
This is known, Shame Boy.
Yep.
So, yeah, then, like, after that, and I rescued Valentina, I, like, started up a career mode and, like, maxed out my tech tree and, like, I landed on the moon and I went to Duna and I went to Ike and I went to Minmus and I went to Gilly and...
I don't think I've done anything past the moon.
I built a space station.
There's a lot of that game
I built a station on Minmus, you know, like...
Were they planetary or orbital?
Stations. So there's a station on Minmus.
Okay.
And I had a station orbiting Kerbin. I didn't really fuck around with the way station science works. So I maxed out the amount of science I could get out of that station.
Okay.
And I thought maybe I could get more science out of it if it was orbiting a different body.
So you're gonna like go grab it and push it?
Yeah, we sent up a booster and sent it to the moon.
Sweet.
And it doesn't do anything.
Aww.
Yeah, so...
It's like not flagged right once it gets there.
He almost slammed it into the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Five minutes before we started.
After I had it leave the moon because I was going to bring it back to Kerbin and bring the Kerbal knots back, I left it in orbit that was just like a little too close to the moon. And so like while the ship was coming up to rendezvous with it, the moon like grabbed it.
It was like, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we had to act very quickly to save the lives of those brave men and women.
I would love to see you get far enough, Matt, to necessitate an aero break.
Oh, man.
That is a harrowing experience.
Dude.
So aero braking, for those that don't know, let me actually like drop what that is so you can understand. So... When you're going out to farther planets, it can be necessary, or it's a great way to alter your trajectory by slowing down.
A lot of speed.
But what you do is you literally drag your ship's ass into an atmosphere so it slows you down, and then hopefully have enough to keep going.
Yeah. Well, and also not burn up doing it.
Right,
because if you dip too deep, it'll destroy your spacecraft.
Yeah, sure. So like, it's this, like... Real, like, razor's edge type thing, but it's super cool when you pull it off.
Surfing
like,
in a tsunami.
Yeah.
Well, so, like, for example, like, if you go to Joule is the analog for Jupiter in the game. It's a big gas giant with a bunch of moons.
Badass atmosphere.
Yeah, you gotta get going really fast to get out that far, and then, like, what am I gonna do? Like, spend 2,000 meters a second of Delta V slowing down at Joule?
Hell no.
Yeah, I'm gonna fucking walk that razor's edge by dipping my ship into Joule's atmosphere.
Yeah.
And hopefully I remember to retract the solar panels because they sure as shit won't make it. Yeah, air braking's a hell of a drug. If you like air braking, if you're a Kerbal fan listener, go watch the sequel to 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, yeah.
2010, the year we make contact. There's actually a fucking cool air braking sequence in that where, like, the ship is shaking and everyone's terrified inside and, like...
It's one of those things, like, when you understand the concept, you're like, I know the math works. Yeah. But that doesn't make it less scary.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't make it less fucking like, oh my god, is this gonna even fucking work?
Yeah. Well, like, I think
it's a butt fist situation.
Yeah, well, totally.
I think in that situation specifically, like in that movie, the tech hasn't been used before. Like, no one's done a human aero braking thing. So, like, who knows? Maybe the whole ship breaks apart.
Yeah. This human ballast.
Yeah.
Hey, are we ready for the Not Real Game Awards?
Sure.
All right.
Fuck yeah.
Todd Howard.
Zero Todd Howard.
Zero Todd Howard.
Oh, no, my argument is for a different award.
Yeah. Brandon Chung.
Brandon Chung.
Maybe one.
Yeah, there's like some
Well, yeah, because they're like cutesy and like, yeah.
And they're squarish.
They're charming.
Yeah, one. I'll go with one.
One is acceptable.
Nina Freeman.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero Ninas.
Yeah, this is not
the feelings these from Kerbal Space Program are all manufactured internally.
Yeah, these are all Procgen feelings.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's your attachment, not the game.
Like,
yeah.
this gets a turn out to you. Though.
For sure. Simon Vicklund. Zero.
Yeah.
What are you sucking your teeth about?
I'm wondering.
I want to do a tiny little shout out.
Okay.
So the main theme music when you boot up the game
is
composed by Philippe Falange. I hope I'm saying that name right. The creator of the main developer, the big creator of the game. And I love that the idea that like he in his home was belting out on a Casio, noodling around coming up with the theme song for this.
Okay.
So it's like I don't think it gets Simon Vicklund.
It's not a point, but like, it's nice to talk.
It reminded me of a music thing I wanted to mention.
J.E. Sawyer.
Zero.
Yeah, I'm a zero on that one. I was going to say Jeff Bezos.
This game is very much unlike all other games we play.
Yeah. No, it's very different.
I don't know. Jeff Bezos has an aerospace company.
I feel like it's one.
Yeah. Two.
Two?
I'll give him a one.
Why two?
Two Jeff Bezos, one aerospace game, two 2K.
Jeff Bezos doesn't own 2K?
No, but like, they're bad. They're a bad company.
I'm on one, Keenan.
You have the right to say it's a two, but I refute it.
That's fair.
I'm the dissenting.
It requires like tribunal, right?
No, that's I'm fine with that.
I'm on one.
I am okay with a veto.
Tarn Adams.
Oh, I'm gonna give it like a. So like, a lot of the game's not a Procgen is the thing.
Sure.
You know, like,
but that's not all that Dwarf Fortress
I know.
Or Tarn Adams
I know.
But there's a lot of labor of love in this game.
And there's a lot of numbers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, I'd give it like a one or a two.
And it's also a really good, realistic representation of science shit in a game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I would go three because of the design philosophies of both. That's
they're like definitely different science realms.
He doesn't
realms,
need to agree with us. Did you do
three? No, three.
Yeah, okay.
We're on three.
So we're on
deal
three.
With it. Yeah.
Suck it large, alien. fucking. All right, last one. Jake Solomon.
I give it like a three.
Yeah.
Yep.
This game is brutal and makes you be careful.
Mm-hmm.
If you make mistakes, you fucking pay for them.
And like we were saying,
you don't.
Like,
Jeb does.
Yeah, Jeb does.
Hey, you can set back the program.
Yeah, that's true. You sink a lot of resources into something,
but but the main thing is, like, if you lose Jeb, you have an emotional attachment to Jeb, and that's...
And let's face it, the other two guys, not as good.
I found myself in a position where I had a contract to go to the moon and land on it. And I did not have enough money to stack my rocket that goes to the moon. So I had to go to the contract. So, but I don't have enough money, and I can't take another contract.
Right.
Because my contract building only lets you have two.
Right, right.
And I need to upgrade it.
Yep.
So I had to go spend the only money I had. Instead of spending on a rocket, I had to spend it on upgrading the contract building so I can accept new contracts and then accept contracts I have no intention of fulfilling for the advance because I know that once I get the moon landing, the payout on the moon landing is like really good.
It's really good because it needs to open the fucking door for stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So like I know that, okay, now I have exactly enough money to build my rocket. We can go to the moon and then when we get back, cancel those contracts and like take the money hit.
Thanks for the money. Contract nuke.
Like, I felt like a total skeezbag.
Yeah, that's
doing
some
it.
Shady business.
That's some real life academia, right?
Yeah, some real tactical corporate shit.
Yeah, it's a good thing you're covered by the Kerbin government, man.
You're ready to play Shadowrun.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
Yeah.
You can do that in Eve too. It's fucked up.
Okay. Well, those are the not real game awards.
All right.
Was this Jake Solomon the last one?
Yes, Jake Solomon is the last one. But this is the part where Keenan talks about wrestling. He said he had a wrestling to talk about.
But isn't there another thing, or is that after?
There's more things.
Okay.
I have changed the order.
Okay.
Don't look at my phone. You're not allowed.
Your thumb is like way in the way.
You are not allowed to look at the Doom agenda.
Dumb wrestling thing. Kevin Owens, national treasure of the wrestling world. Is a chubby Canadian man who learned English by watching wrestling. He's from Quebec.
He's a Québécois.
Yeah. And so his English is like automatically wrestling promo style because the way he learned English is watching wrestling promos and hearing wrestling
nice.
Announcers.
Good for him.
So he's very, very good at the like charisma character angle of things in a way that's awesome. But he's been tweeting, like, nonstop for the last couple of weeks about how he's really excited about the Shania Twain concert in his hometown.
Oh, good for him.
And then, like, he incorporated this as a piece of his character on Twitter, right? Like, this is, like, a thing he's been talking about.
It's fun to be excited about music you like.
And so he literally posts today pictures of him at the Shania Twain concert and a video of him getting pulled on stage by Shania Twain because of all the fucking, like, PR he did for the concert.
I'm so happy and for him.
And it's like, this is the wonderful, weird thing wrestling does sometimes.
I'm so, like, I'm genuinely happy
for
this man.
And it's, like, weird and dumb and wonderful.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really wholesome.
And, like,
wrestling's, like, never
it's like,
that wholesome.
It's, like, really wholesome, and wholesome. Kevin Owens is, like, a genuine shitbag as a character, so it's, like, this really weird, like, thing.
Okay, so,
it's like if you, Kanye you met say Mr. Rogers and was amped.
You say genuine shitbag, but I never believed him for an instant. Whenever I see Kevin Owens on screen, that's a nice person.
He's intentionally
pretending to be a
he's
dick.
He's intentionally a shitbag and does a very good job of it in the universe.
He sells it, but there's a. It's like when. It's like the part of you that won't let you pass out. Right?
Yeah,
it's like
no,
holding on for dear life, and you're like, no, I know he's
you
a
can
person.
See it
yeah.
in there, but he's doing a real good job of putting a lot of shit on top of it. Like,
yeah. Okay, hey, Owen, you wrote stuff down. It's time to read it.
Oh, yeah.
ITT, that shit you wrote down.
So I was on the Waypoint forums way back.
Shout out to Waypoint.
Yeah, shout out to Waypoint.
Hey, so say one of Austin Walker's dumb names.
Fuck. shit.
George Foster Flawless.
Yeah!
There it is.
John Luke Gohard.
Fuck, it's so good.
The black Karl Marx.
Yep.
anyway, I was on the Waypoint forums. And people were talking about Star Wars games. Because, like, Star Wars is owned by Disney now. So Star Wars games can't be not huge anymore. Like, they only get handed out to AAA studios.
Yeah. There's a big business deal that has to happen.
You'll never get Dark Forces again. You're only going to get Battlefront.
Right. You need a hard justification.
Yeah.
Good subtitle.
And so, like, people got into this...
Star Wars hard justification.
Yeah. People got into this discussion, cool. though. It was like, okay, so, like, what is, like... Like, the people start talking about, like, small-scale Star Wars stories.
What's the minimum?
Like, what is, like, the, what is the tiny little indie darling Star Wars game you could make? And, like, it, like, immediately popped into my head.
No.
Brendan Chung's Mos Eisley Cantina.
Mmm.
Like, would be, like, an amazing game. You know, let people who are weird and not... Like the slick corporateness handle the Star Wars IP. Like how exciting could that be?
Well,
get
and like
their
especially
all over it.
Especially these creators who are like making these worlds, like allowing them to live in that one.
Yeah,
is like a really interesting thing.
This thing happens to me every couple of years where I get really into Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Star Wars is cool, and then the second I go to Wikipedia and start reading articles, I'm like, oh right, Star Wars is like a Fabergé egg. There's like fucking nothing underneath this glittering surface.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally nothing underneath it. It's this hollow shell,
yeah.
right? It's this hollow shell I think the most indicative thing is like George Lucas doesn't say the word lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
He says laser swords.
Right.
Right? And
right,
that to me is very indicative of like the whole problem with Star Wars for me is, and that's what, like with these new movies that have been coming out, I'm like, hey, let's do literally anything else
sure.
than the things that have already happened, right? Which is why I really liked the most recent mainline movie that came out, because it was
super weird and different.
Yeah, it was super weird and different and tried new things.
Yeah.
And I was like really into that. And that's why I liked Solo, because it was like,
oh,
it, was, it was it was it was per a right. form, but it wasn't a already Star Wars form.
Right.
And there was literally no space laser wizards in it. Like that was
which
cool.
is like
so,
I've had a lot of those. The thing about Star Wars for me that sort of tacks onto what you're saying. The things I like about Star Wars are the patch the writer comes along and puts over the hole in the pants. I like the things people tack on to the structure more than I like its baseline structure.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all that cool expanded universe shit we liked as kids is cool because it's like, whoa, you took this thing and you went way over there with it.
Yeah, you yelled remix.
Sometimes expanded universe is bad.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a guy.
For sure.
But it tried.
There's a guy Darth Maul knows, and his name is Savage Opress.
Stop.
All right, we're done talking about Star Wars.
That's that Wikipedia article that makes you stop there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You run into There's that one Wikipedia article. You're like, oh, right, shit, this is dumb.
Star Wars is great.
Yeah, but it's also dumb.
Yeah,
like
Star Wars is super dumb.
Like, people always do. And to me, I'm like, hey, that shit's dumb. And they're like, oh man, I thought you liked this thing. And I'm like, I
like lots of dumb things.
I like most of the things I like are dumb.
Yeah, yeah, I had that realization. Like there's a requirement now, like thanks to wrestling and the other stuff I like, but like there's a certain level of dumb that needs to be there for me to be like, yeah, about this thing.
In middle school, this girl told me I don't like bad techno, and I agreed with her. And as time has gone on, I have agreed with her less and less and less and less until now I'm at like this fucking, the worst fucking Eurobeat shit is playing, and I'm like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're just fully accepting it at this point.
Yeah, and I just, I think it's partially about, like you said, accepting yourself and being like, yeah, this DMB is terrible, but it really makes me want to dance, so I'm going to do that. Yeah. And it's really fun. Like the song, the Iconopop song, I love it.
Yeah.
That's a terrible song.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
Yeah, but it's also, like, fantastic.
So I ran into this recently. My girlfriend is watching an anime called Soul Eater. And I ran into a character in Soul Eater who is the son of death. And also, like, I love the really ridiculous aesthetic this anime has. It's super over the top in a really wonderful way.
Uh-huh.
But this character is the edgiest edgelord that ever lived.
And you love it.
And I love it because it's just the right amount of dumb. And at the same time, like, I read his Wikipedia article, I'm like, whoa, they take him in some cool directions. So it's like this, it's like the perfect, like, dumb, like, it's the perfect food for my fungi, right? Like, it's dumb bullshit that I grow on and I'm good with. Yeah, like,
fucking squidbillies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I get a chicken hat this week.
Yeah. This is Matt's first chicken hat.
Fuck you.
I think that
you.
Hurts more because of your output last game. I think that's part of...
Well, I mean...
You tried so... You worked so goddamn hard on that game.
The scheduling just didn't work. Yeah,
okay.
I just gotta take it.
It happens.
We're playing Stellaris next week. The very last thing we need to do, the very last piece of business on the Doom agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this strange edifice that appeared last time, Sam Fisher versus, which I have chosen to mean Sam Fisher in a fight to the mortal end with the protagonist. In parentheses,
Jebediah Kerman
of this game in their native universe.
In their native environment?
In their native environment.
Jeb wins. Oh, yeah, Jeb wins.
See, I can't fly a spaceship.
There's an interesting world where Sam is a stowaway on your spaceship where that gets weird, but until then...
I mean, if we're going to, like, create scenarios where, oh, Sam Fisher's actually hiding in his house, you know, like, fuck off.
Like, but I'm saying, like, in, like, a sunshine, big-ass spaceship, extra dude on it context, Sam Fisher go fuck people up.
So, like, the scenario...
But that's not how the RPG works.
But that's not the scenario.
Yeah, the arbitrary scenario I've immediately constructed and I'm acting upon is in the Making History DLC, there are alternate launch sites. So I'm imagining Jeb and Sam at opposite launch sites.
Okay.
And then, like, fighting to the death. And I think Jeb fucking wins.
So, like, my thing is, like, Sam's
so you think they fight with spaceships?
I think they fight with whatever tools they have at their disposals. Whether that means they rendezvous and fist fight each other in spacesuits, okay. Or that means Jeb rendezvousing, turning a ship around, and roasting Sam's capsule with his orbital maneuvering system. Like...
Yeah. Yeah. I think... Yeah.
Or Sam trying to kamikaze his ass.
I think the other thing is, so Sam's whole thing is puncture wounds, right? Yeah. Like, he shoots you with a silenced pistol or an assault rifle or stabs you in the neck.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, though. Kerbals are cactuses.
Sure.
Right? So, like, you shoot a Kerbal on the head, the Kerbal's like, oh, fuck my goo. Yeah. Right? But they're not, like, dead, right?
Well, so here's the
we
thing.
Did just talk about the head bounce. Yeah, they're hardy as fuck.
So, like, here's the thing I did once by accident in Kerbal Space Program once. I had, like, I had...
Emergent gameplay!
I had a ship in orbit, and I was trying to rendezvous another ship with it, and, like, I'm lining up my little rendezvous, and it's like, oh, they're gonna be separated by, like, you know, 2 kilometers. That's really close. I can get them that close, and then I can go out of the map view and get them closer, or I can keep doing these fine little maneuvers in the map screen, and let's see how shit close I can get this shit. And I get it down, so it says the separation will be by 0.0 meters, and I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, I'm so good at this. And then it pulls me out of the map screen, because blindly, I have lined up my rendezvous so closely that the two ships just plowed into each other.
And because their speeds were still different.
Yeah, at like fucking 200 meters a second. So here's what I'm imagining is like, let's say Sam Fisher somehow gets into orbit. And like, Jeb's got this shit lined up.
He can literally just fling his booster at him or some dumb shit.
He's like, gonna drop a booster stage at Sam's ship going
like 800 meters a second.
Yeah. And like, Sam won't have time to whip out a pistol or like puncture wound a cactus or whatever. Like, right. Sam will be spaced out.
When I was bringing up the talking about cactus physiology, I was just saying, in the event that I agree with you, I think Jeb has the enormous home field advantage here, like an insurmountable
home field inexorability of mathematics.
Yeah, I think will kill Sam Fisher. But like, so even if we're doing the thing that you posited last time that I totally vetoed, which was the like blank white box. like Sam's like fills him full of lead that all goes through him, and he's like, I'm a cactus.
Whatever. He's grinning. Yeah. Jeb is grinning and excited.
And then he beats the shit out of him.
I mean, I've seen that Kerbal head bounce.
Yeah.
Pretty much unkillable.
Yeah, the only way you can kill them was fire, and I don't see Sam Fisher with pyrokinesis, so...
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes he brings fire.
So, alternate scenario that my brain came up with.
Sure.
Because I have read way too much shit about special operations groups.
Oh, cool, so you're on the other side of
this. So, no. So there's a reason NASA doesn't let the Navy SEALs work on their land anymore, because they fucked up and left some shit behind in places they weren't supposed to be in. So, my scenario here is that Sam tries to sneak aboard the ship as it's launching and gets roasted.
Yeah, gets fucking cooked.
Yeah, it's either that or he's doing some boring shit where he's stealing some papers from the contract center.
Oh.
At which point, not even a problem.
But that's not Sam versus Fisher.
Right. But like,
Fisher versus.
But like, the things Sam Fisher does, like, just don't even line up with Jeb's life in a way that, like...
If you have questions or concerns about us and our mental health, or you want to send Owen a dick pic, or you want us to send you free game codes from the free game code vault, which is very real.
Yeah. Or you want to send us a game code to play your game.
We will play your game.
We will.
If you send us a game.
So to be clear, the game vault is real.
It's real as fuck.
We have an enormous Google Docs spreadsheet of leftover Humble Bundle codes that nobody wants.
Because we already own the games.
Yeah. But it's not because they're bad games.
It's not,
You know, Humble Bundle sometimes gives you stuff you don't need.
Though, beware. We will randomly pick one and give it to you.
If you know how Sam Fisher Versus ended up on the Doom Agenda, please send an email to badplaystyle@gmail.com.
We would love to know how we did this.
At badplaystyle@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Twitter.
Someone needs to poke that Twitter account sometime.
Yeah, my week was busy last week too. I'm sorry.
And today.
Yeah, I can do that soon.
Yeah. At Bad Playstyle on Twitter.
At badplaystyle@gmail.com.
don't put that in there.
Don't say the wrong address. It's bad form. Music is made by my good friend Benjamin Busey. You can find his SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/basicbenji206.